Welcome back to Carter and Lowry, episode number 170. We are back on this day, April the 23rd, 2024. I'm virtually alongside co-host Sam Carter. Sam, final days in Boone, approaching the end. What's that been like for you?
I feel like we're still waiting on this final push for warmth. We can't fully get a grasp on it. We get the inconsistent weather that Boone is known for, really. But, you know, I think by the time Boone is actually fully warm, I'll be gone.
That's the way it is. Some things will never change. But Sam, opening question today. You know, we're talking about Lifesavers, the classic mint candy. You got the colors variety with the rainbow, butter rum, spearmint, peppermint. When you're craving a Lifesaver, what's the go-to flavor?
I feel like the obvious answer is the wintergreen, but they're overplayed. Give me a peppermint. I've always been a peppermint kind of guy as far as the mints go, but spearmint is also really good. Wintergreen, out. We're done.
I'm a butter rum guy myself. I hear that from my father. That's probably his favorite candy. I mean, I'm not a huge Lifesavers guy, but it's got to be butter rum for me. I mean, I think that, you know, wintergreen's good, but they don't make them anymore. But you got to make a special order to get butter rum. So maybe that downgrades the ranking there. But I just feel like that's just the way to go. All right. Well, Sam, we have a nice docket today of sports, springtime. So it means baseball, talk a little bit of hockey, the NFL draft coming up this Thursday, and then, of course, the NBA playoffs. Starting off the top with baseball, Seattle Mariners climb back to 500. This great week last week. Now 11-11, second in the AL West. Huge series coming up at Texas starting tonight, and then versus Arizona, and then versus Atlanta. Julio is hitting well again. Highest batting average of the team at 276. The Cal Raleigh with 5 home runs. Julio yet to hit a home run still, but just a solid play for the Mariners. Kind of, you know, got Luis his first win over the week. Just very solid play, and interesting to see how this division is going to shape out, given how poorly the Astros have started. But Sam, the AL East is having no problems, considering all of their teams are safely above 500 right now. So why don't you take us to the Orioles over the past week?
So the O's have pretty much been clicking on all cylinders. Finally pass those dirty scoundrels up north. 15 and 7, first in the AL East. This really looks like a complete team, finally. There's always the question marks at pitching, but Gunnar Henderson, what a season for him so far. And then I will say Jackson Holliday has let me down. I thought he was going to be the future of baseball, but you know, it's a long career for him, hopefully.
Sure. And I think that this Orioles team is really gonna, you know, they got a long way to go, but future is very bright, as we've all obviously mentioned, but the pieces are definitely coming together for sure. But now we turn our attention to a little hockey. We don't normally dive that deep into hockey, but you know, with the Carolina Hurricanes doing what they did last night, scoring 4 goals in about 5 minutes in the third period to come back against the Islanders. They're up 2-0 in that series. We got to show some love, even though they're based out of Raleigh. It's still my team. Still by far the best team in the Carolinas professionally, all time and currently. Respect to the Canes, and we'll be covering that more, you know, closer as they advance in the playoffs. But now, Sam, a little bit of your area of expertise, the NFL draft coming up this Thursday. And while you're screaming at your television, for the pick to be in, Sam and I don't even need to worry about that, because Sam and I give you that expert advice. Let's look at the top 10 right now. Caleb Williams at 1, Jalen Daniels at 2, Drake May at 3, Malik Nabers at 4, JJ McCarthy at 5, Marvin Harrison, Maserati Marf at six, Joe Alt at seven, Jared Vorse at eight, Dallas Turner at nine, and Romeo Odunze at 10. Sam, obviously a quarterback heavy, top 10. Michael Penix Jr. also in the conversation to be in the top 10. Who do you feel, Sam, after coming out of college, is the most complete and NFL ready quarterback on the sport?
I mean, honestly, none of those first four guys really has everything that I personally would look for if I were a GM. Now, I would be a horrible NFL GM. So I'm personally taking Michael Penix, just because, I mean, Caleb Williams, I feel like he's got some care, not character, but personality. Fault. Jaden Daniels, way too small. Drake May, well, I think he would be the most complete. I just don't think he's experienced enough. And then JJ McCarthy, just I don't think he's really NFL caliber QB. He wasn't even the main star on that Michigan team.
Yeah, I mean,
So I gotta go Michael Penix.
I think it was interesting to see over the weekend when Penix wrote that open letter to NFL GMs, just kind of talking about the importance there of his injuries, given his past, obviously at Indiana, he kind of stacked up the injuries. He's 23 years old, so I mean that's kind of an indication of where his injuries have taken him. But I think Caleb Williams is a deserving number one pick. He has the talent. I understand there's some personality issues, but if I was an NFL, if I was the Bears GM, I would definitely take Caleb Williams. Interesting to see if the Patriots are going to trade down to avoid Drake May. I mean, I think that he's immensely talented. I mean, I've watched him since he was, my classmate, and I can assure you that when the long ball needs to be thrown, he can do it better than anyone else on this board. But I think that it's a very interesting draft. I think honestly, Sam, you tell me how hot this take is. I know the quarterback is the most important position, but I think Marvin Harrison Jr. is far and away the best player on this draft board. Your thoughts on that take?
I don't think that's a crazy take at all. I mean, I know everyone's hyping this quarterback class up, but I mean, we've seen better QB classes in the last 5, 6 years. I mean, I would say Marvin Harrison looks like one of the best receivers we've seen in that span. I would actually agree. I don't know if I would make that take myself, but hearing you say it, I think I would agree.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just kind of the way it goes. I mean, he's going to be kind of lower on the board because just the receiver, how much impact can they make? But just this Giants team, which has been inconsistent, I think he could provide a real boost for them. And just going to interesting to see how it plays out. 7 o'clock on Thursday, the NFL draft. So get forward to that, and get ready. I fully expect the Patriots to trade down. And try to get alignment. I mean, that's just the Patriot way. But we'll just have to see how it all unfolds and exciting stuff for the NFL draft. But now we turn to NBA basketball, Sam. And Sam and I, we've been watching and we've noticed. I mean, I don't know if you've noticed as well, but no lower seed or any road team, let's say, has won a game yet. We've had 11 games. No road team is, we had some very close calls, crazy games last night, extremely close calls. We'll start at the top. We'll go series by series, give you our thoughts. Starting off, Boston Celtics, Miami Heat, classic rematch. This time without Jimmy Butler, he goes down in that first play-in game with an MCL tear. Sam, your thoughts on this series, given that Jimmy Butler's out. Did the Heat have any chance to make this competitive?
I mean, I think the Heat can hold their own for a little while without Jimmy Butler, but the further we get into this series, I think that the Celtics are just gonna outlast the Heat. I mean, because they're a better team with Jimmy Butler. I mean, the Celtics are better than the Heat when they have Jimmy Butler.
Right.
And I mean, now I don't even think they're comparable. So, I mean, I think I got Celtics in four.
Oh yeah, completely agree. Just not a fight without, Jimmy Butler out there. And then a crazy game last night. Knicks Sixers. Knicks lead the series 2-0. We saw a little bit of Reggie Miller magic this time, going the Knicks I mean in the Knicks way. With Jalen Brunson super lucky three, being down five with 30 seconds left to cut it to two. And Tyrese Maxey maybe gets fouled, maybe gets the ball stolen. Dante DiVincenzo with the huge three to put the Knicks up one, and then Isaiah Hartenstein with the block. I mean, the Knicks they've done something. I mean, Joel Embiid is back, but the Knicks, I mean, escape with two wins. Sam, given that, Embiid is, an MVP candidate, one of the best players in the league, is, do the Sixers have enough in the tank? Do you think they have any chance of pulling this back, or is being down 2-0 just too much, especially when you don't even have home court advantage?
I don't believe so. I think that this Sixers team is really good. And I think that, this Knicks team might be a little overinflated. Maybe a little lucky too. But I think it will be significantly more difficult now being down two, but there's always hope.
I mean, I agree with you. I think that, that having Embiid on your team is a huge advantage. But I think that, the Knicks, they got the two seed, maybe not the most deserving two seed in the world, but they are where they are, and they still have, incredible player in Jalen Brunson. So I like the Knicks to win this series, but I think it's not going to be a complete instance of a gentleman sweep or a sweep here. And then Bucks Pacers, no Giannis with the calf strain. Damian Lillard drops 35 points. In game one, game two tonight. Sam, your thoughts, what this means, how important is it, for Damian Lillard to play well, given that Giannis isn't on the court? Just kind of given, kind of his age, he's a veteran now. You think a performance like this is going to be needed, as we progress in the series, for the Bucks to continue on to the second round?
I do. I think that, this team is essentially all Giannis. And without Giannis, they have Damian Lillard. I mean, he is the only star on this team. So I think, yes, I think that, the Pacers are a really good team. And so Damian Lillard definitely has to have nights, maybe not, 35 points in the first half kind of nights, but
Right.
he's gonna have to, come out strong.
For sure. I completely agree. I think until he comes back, Damian Lillard's gotta be, playoff Damian Lillard for sure. And then the Cavs just cruising against the Magic. Donovan Mitchell just playing really well, spreading the, ball around. Jared Allen, I think he had 24 rebounds in game two. So, I mean, the Cavs have just been super steady. And they're up 2-0. Sam, do you give this young Magic team any chance to come back, or do you think the experience, the defense, the Cavaliers is just going to be too much?
I don't give them much of a chance to come back. I think they might pick up maybe one game, which is kind of disappointing. I was kind of hyped about this Magic team coming into the playoffs, but I do think that being down 2-0 for this young Magic team is near insurmountable.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think the experience lack is going to play a factor. And I mean, being in that kind of hole is very difficult anyways. And when you have the lack of experience, it's only going to make the problem worse. Moving on to the Western Conference, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, he hits a game winner. No Zion in game one. But the Thunder escape with a victory. Sam, how worried are you for the Oklahoma City Thunder, considering we expect Zion to be back? For game two, what are your worry levels, for the OKC Thunder right now?
I think OKC is definitely the better team, but I mean, like you said, with struggles without Zion Williamson, I mean, that definitely raises some flags. I think this might be the sneaky best series, with the way things are working out. I mean, the best series, obviously. We haven't talked about it yet, but yeah. I think I got both eyes on that Nugget series, and then maybe my right eye sneaking off this OKC series. But
And speaking of Nuggets Lakers, if you didn't have the chance to be blessed with two back-to-back incredible games on Turner Network television last night, I feel sorry for you, because I was watching both of these. And I mean, the Lakers, I think honestly, they play the perfect game that they could play. The Nuggets struggle, but they find a way to win. One of Sam's favorites, Jamal Murray, step back over Anthony Davis, swish, buzzer beater, 199, Nuggets win. LeBron walks out of his post-game interview complaining about officiating, and the overturned foul call at the end of the third quarter was kind of started the momentum for the Nuggets. And then we didn't see, a timeout from either team. Sam, kind of your thoughts on going no timeout. In the last 40 seconds, it was just straight ball. I mean, the Nuggets missed a shot, and Lakers missed a shot, and the Nuggets came down. Obviously, Jamal Murray, hit that fadeaway to win. But kind of your thoughts on the timeout strategy, given that the game was tied. Just your thoughts on the end of this ending sequence of this game.
Well, I mean, it obviously worked out for the Nuggets not to call a timeout. And I mean, what can you say about the Lakers? Like, you do call that timeout. I mean, say they get an even better look. I mean, that shot, it was almost a shot in the dark, it looked like. I mean, you got Anthony Davis, big hand right in your face. I mean, I don't really know what more the Lakers could have done to make him miss that shot, but maybe you call a timeout and you set up, a better defense rather than just kind of trying to figure out whose man is whose man. You go into that last 5 seconds with a better idea of what to do. But I mean, props to Jamal Murray. When I look at in this game, you said the Lakers played a perfect game. I would say that Anthony Davis, or the I'd say the Lakers played a perfect game, and then Anthony Davis played a perfect first half, and then he kind of just like disappeared in the fourth quarter offensively. I feel like that's what I look at, and that's what I would attribute the Lakers' loss to.
It's just, I mean, they just have to play so well to have a chance in the series, and I think it's just gonna be too much talent in the Mile High City for the Lakers to handle. And then a couple game ones to touch up here. The Timberwolves roll against the Suns, get a 25-point win. Anthony Edwards looked fantastic. Rudy Gobert was a monster. I mean, I think this Timberwolves team is loaded. And look out. I'm very excited if we get to see Timberwolves Nuggets. I think that'll be a very intriguing series. Jamal Murray against Anthony Edwards. But nonetheless, nice one there. And then obviously Clippers Mavericks. No Kawhi, no problem. Clippers cruise in game one. And I mean, that could be an interesting series. I think we just need to see another game and kind of flesh it out a little bit. But Sam, before we wrap this episode up, just kind of any final thoughts on these NBA playoffs as we head into some games, threes, fours, and fives over the next week.
I mean, if you weren't watching either of those Nuggets games, I'll say Nuggets versus Lakers. Now you will watch them now. So that's all I gotta say.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's pretty premium television, and I don't know. I don't know. I have a feeling we're gonna have some new storylines because, well, I mean, I gotta ask you this, Sam. When's the road team gonna win? When's that gonna happen first? Because I mean, I just this is something I've never
When
seen
they play a
before.
game in LA.
They have it. They have it. Well, that is going to do it for episode number 170 of Carter and Lowry. And hear from us next Tuesday.